Our scripture lesson today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 through 34 and 44 through 52. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it was grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed it in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. When Jesus had finished these parables, he left that place. He came to his hometown and began to teach the people in their synagogue, so that they were astounded and said, where does this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Before I begin, I want to recognize Cindy Trifon. She's been our accompanist for several Sundays this summer, and this is her last Sunday with us. So I wanted to thank her. Thank you so much for sharing your talents. Thank you. And for those of you who didn't notice, I've been gone a couple of weeks. And it is nice to be back. I haven't heard anybody say, oh, you were gone, but I understand that things went quite well. It's good to be back. It did remind me of one time years ago when I was in the little town of Forsyth, Georgia, and I'd taken a couple of weeks off, and we were in the town square, and I saw one of our church members across the square. I said, hey, Jack, I haven't seen you in church lately. And he yelled back, if you'd show up now and then, you would. But it's good to be back. And I know since I've been gone for a couple of weeks that you haven't heard a baseball story. I want to share a couple with you because I went to a baseball game. Peg and I went to a Threshers game a couple nights ago and saw a walk-off win by the Threshers. That's always an exciting thing to see that game won at the last at-bat. And I have two baseball memories I want to share with you. The first one is in 1992, and that was before we had ever moved to Washington. I just graduated from seminary, and I was still an Atlanta Braves fan to the core, and I still am. But my beloved Braves were playing the Pittsburgh Pirates in the 7th game of the National League Championship. The winner of that game would go to the World Series. And we went into the bottom of the 9th inning of that game, with the Pirates leading 2-0. I won't go into all the details, which I could. But through a series of close calls, misplaced balls, misplayed balls, and good plays and base hits, the Atlanta Braves won that game and went to the World Series. One of the most exciting finishes of a game. I was watching it on television. 20 years later, exactly 20 years later, I was in the stands when the Washington Nationals were playing the St. Louis Cardinals in the fifth game of the first playoff series. The winner of that game would go to the National League Championship Series. My Nationals had a 6-0 lead early in the game that slowly dwindled down to 6-4. 2-run lead going into the ninth inning. And that night, I stood in the stands and watched a series of close calls, misplayed balls, good plays, and good hits as the Nationals lost the game. I've never seen 50,000 people so quiet. Now, one of my intense memories of that first game in Atlanta was not so much the win as it was a picture right there on the screen of the center fielder of the Pittsburgh Pirates. His name was Andy Van Slyke. And he was slumped, cross-legged, with his head in his hands, out in the middle of center field, while the Atlanta Braves celebrated at home plate. And of course, I was in that stadium of 50,000 people who walked out of that place in silence. So you see, these walk-off wins have two sides. Somebody's excited, somebody's not. But what leads up to the end of that game is just as important as that final hit. The person who gets the final hit is always the hero, or the pitcher that throws that final pitch may be the GOAT. But there are always plays that happen in that game and in that inning that one can always go back to and say, well, if they had done this back in the third inning, they wouldn't have been in this situation in the ninth inning. There are always circumstances that lead up to dramatic moments. We saw that this week in the political life of our country as the Senate debated health care. And we had there was a big dramatic moment where one vote swung the legislation one way. But that was only one vote. There were others who held their votes and their places all along in order to make that one vote possible. It happens in our lives, in the political and civic life. We go to the polls and vote. One vote sometimes may decide it. But how do you know which vote it was? It could have been the very first vote and not the last vote. And so I think this is what I want us to consider about these parables of Jesus this morning. Because every one of these parables are about little things. They're about a mustard seed. They're about yeast. They're about a tiny pearl. The little things matter. And little things can inspire greater things, or they can destroy greater things. The small things in our lives matter. It matters what we say. It matters how we treat one another. It matters whether we care for people less fortunate. It matters whether we protect the innocent. It matters what we do. The little things. That's what these parables speak to us this morning. Just like a tiny mustard seed grows a big tree, a word of encouragement to someone can change their entire day and maybe even their life. A destructive word, a harsh criticism, could keep that person from fulfilling their dream or their potential. Just like that mustard seed, just like the yeast in bread, yeast permeates the bread and makes it rise. Now that yeast could be positive and loving, or that yeast could be filled with hate and negativity. The tiny pearl, the value of that pearl is great, but it's very small. In many ways, all of Jesus' parables point us in this direction. Jesus continually tells us that the way we live matters, and that that is what the kingdom is all about. Jesus is not worried about what we believe. Jesus is not worried about our systematic theology. Jesus is concerned with how we treat one another, and that we treat one another lovingly, with respect, that we honor one another's human dignity. And then he says, as he finishes these parables, he says, "Have you heard what I said?" Did you catch that in the reading? Have you heard what I said? You remember a few years ago, the little plastic bracelets that said WWJD? What would Jesus do? Now, if that's not a rhetorical question, I don't know what is. We know what Jesus would do. The problem is following Jesus. We don't have to ask the question, what would Jesus do? Because Jesus treated everyone with respect and love and dignity. So I would suggest to us this morning that as we contemplate these parables of Jesus, that we realize that he's talking about the little things in life, in all of our lives, in our relationships with one another, in our work, in our civic life, in our political discourses. And I think that's especially important in our world today. One of the most tragic things about the atmosphere in our country and our communities today is that There are no conversations going on. Everybody already has their perspective. Their heels are dug in, and nobody is talking to each other and listening to one another and treating each other with respect. And we can't wait for our national leaders to start this. That's the sad thing about it. This civil discourse that we so desperately need must start with us, in our families, in our communities, in our congregations. And then it will filter up. Jesus tells us time and again, change the way you live and relate to one another. Jesus doesn't try to change the Roman Empire. Jesus doesn't try to change the temple. Jesus speaks to the people and says, what you do and what you say is like a mustard seed. It's like yeast in bread. It's like a tiny pearl with great value. It matters. And when we begin to realize this, we are experiencing what Jesus called the kingdom of heaven. Amen. While I was away for the past 2 weeks, I've done a lot of hiking. I spent an entire week with a group of pastors out in Estes Park, Colorado, in a retreat. And in the mornings, we would hike trails in the Rocky Mountain National Park. In the afternoons, we would sit around and discuss texts that we had all been reading. Then Peg came out for a few days, and she and I had the opportunity to hike some of those trails together. There's something about hiking that reminds me of these parables, because if you're a hiker, if you're a climber, even if you're just a walker, you know that your journey takes one step at a time. You might be climbing to an 11,000 or 12,000 foot summit, but you're not going to get there unless you take the next step, unless you go around that next switchback, unless you grab that next rock and pull yourself up. It's a series of little things that get you to that magnificent alpine lake that's surrounded by glaciers. It's the little things that get you on up to that pass where you can see forever. And that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's the little things. It's the word of kindness. It's the encouragement. It's the embrace. It's the helping hand. It's just the presence of being with one another in love and kindness and respect each and every day. And when we do those little things, occasionally we find ourselves at that alpine lake or on that summit. So let us go from this place this morning knowing that we are the seeds, we are the yeast, we are the pearls. And as Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So let's go out of this place and let's shine with the love of God. Amen.